You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to learn how to not be a jerky, judgmental, healthy eater so as to not let tofu come between true love. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I will never forget the moment Andrew, my college boyfriend, roughly an hour before I was about to give a presentation about Juno, not NASA's new spacecraft or 2015's Northeastern Winter Storm, Juno the movie, it was for my screenwriting class, muttered those seven magical words, "Talia, I haven't been completely honest with you." Okay, that's eight words if you count the Talia. Let me start again. I'll never forget that moment when my college boyfriend, shamefully and seemingly out of the blue at a really inconvenient time, blurted out, "Talia, I haven't been completely honest with you." Of course, totally caught off guard since I was in the middle of thinking about the brilliant dry humor found in Ellen Page and Michael Cera's dialogue about their illegitimate child, my mind immediately went to, oh my God, is she a blonde or a brunette? Blonde or a brunette? Or maybe redhead or dirty blonde? Who the hell is she? And he paused, and then he said, "I've been sneaking burgers behind your back." She was a Big Mac or a double Whopper with cheese, maybe? I know, I was in as much shock as you are, although you're probably not in any shock since you probably read the title of this podcast and it kind of gave it away entirely, but I was in complete shock. My boyfriend was having a fast food affair, a flank fling. He'd been committing meat adultery. I wish I could tell you I broke out into laughter about how ridiculous this all was. And I wish I had come up with those mediocre puns in the moment or in shorter time than the hour that they actually just took. But all I was feeling in that moment was like the vegan rug had been pulled out under me, knocking the vegan wind completely out of me too. On that note, I had to walk to class to give my presentation on Juno, which somehow I did, even though I think I pretty much blacked out for the entirety of it. And while my classmates were presenting their analysis of Die Hard screenplay or whatever, I was replaying what just had happened in my mind. And something started to click. Oh my God, this must be why I sometimes see him park outside our apartment but not come in for like 10 minutes. Is that when he was sneaking his burger or swallowing chicken nuggets? What about his recent addiction to Orbit's gum? Is that all to mask his tuna breath? Oh my God, when he's shaving with the bathroom door locked, was he really just binging on jerky with the door locked and that's not a sexual innuendo? I'm not exaggerating, although I wish I was, that this animal-eating affair felt as severe to me as a different girl-kissing affair probably would have felt. I was devastated, confused, betrayed. How could this have happened? I thought we were equally in love with Sunday morning tofu scrambles and buckwheat blueberry flaxseed pancakes. How could I have been so blind? Well, turns out I wasn't blind. I was a food Nazi. He was also a weird dude who'd rather sneak a 10-ounce burger behind my back to avoid 1 ounce of conflict than to say to my face, "Hey, actually, I'd like to have a burger now and then. I know you're happily sailing along on your vegan boat, but my ticket actually says meat-eating train, so..." I mean, to say that in the 2.5 years that we were together, we legitimately didn't fight once should illustrate how great he was at sweeping things under the rug that didn't need to be swept under the rug, but then caused such a boulder under the rug that the rug ripped and all the stuff he had swept under there got exposed and was too much to schlep to the dump, so I got dumped instead. But, okay, dissecting his issues is not productive for me, or for you, or him, since he's now happily married to a lady I can only imagine makes a mean meatloaf. But what I can dissect and really want to dive into in this episode is everything I did wrong in that relationship. Food-wise, I mean, we don't have all day here. That breakup changed me. It's what caused me so much anger that I was driven to take it out on stand-up stages, which I'd been wanting to try forever. So yay, thanks for that, Andrew. And it's then what taught me how to be the world's most non-food Nazi partner now, so Jesse doesn't have to sweat a sirloin, even for a sec. Jesse, you really should thank Andrew sometime. And it fueled my fire to start partying my plants to help people never go through what I went through. I can't help you not get dumped at all, but I can guarantee that I can save you from burger breakups. Because I learned from my mistakes, my current relationship is a completely healthy one, which is determined by more factors than simply the contents of our fridge. When I met Jesse, remember Jesse from episode 21 about our Thailand trip? The only veggies in his life was ketchup. Well, honestly, the only thing in his fridge was ketchup. He was definitely not a plant partier, which makes it all the more interesting that 4 years later, we're in a place where he's saying, "Are you sure I should get the burger?" And I'm saying, "Yeah, come on, just do it." I'll explain that more in a bit. But first, let me roll out my 7 tricks for not letting tofu come between true love. Oh, and when I say true love, I also mean the true love between you and your siblings, your friends, your parents, your kids, your coworkers, and your piano teacher. Back in the day, I wasn't just on plant patrol for my boyfriend. I would make my parents feel terrible about their dinners. I'd shame my sister for her snacks, and I'd guilt my bestie for her meat. Yeah, somehow the universe gifted me a best friend since age 5 who considers Skittles a fruity breakfast, steak a well-rounded dinner, and a milkshake a probiotic-rich dessert. When I was at my food judging worst, I didn't mean to hurt the people I loved. I swear, I was really only doing it out of concern for their health. I was taking care of them, I told myself. But it hurt them. I could tell. Plus, they told me numerous times. I felt terrible. I was too blinded by my deep desire to help my peeps eat healthy food to realize that I was making them resent that healthy food and resent me. The breakup with Andrew was the eye-opening kick in the pants, once-in-a-lifetime heartbreak, hopefully, knock on wood, that I needed to kick that bad habit of making people feel bad about their bad habits. And if you want to do that too, not want to get your heart breaking, I mean stop making people feel bad about eating less healthy than you, then here are the 7 things that I highly recommend you do and you don't do to dietarily support your loved ones. Number 1, do try your best to understand where they're coming from, or from where they're coming if you're into proper grammar. A surefire way to ensure that you'll be a judgy McJudgerson towards your someone is if you don't ask them questions with an open mind about their less than healthy food choices. Rather than jump to bold conclusions like they're lazy, weak, undisciplined, or just don't give a rat's ass about their health, happiness, and abs, just ask them. What happens if you find out that your loved one's love for pasta stems from growing up with a family whose only time not fighting at the dinner table was when pasta was present? What if your coworker's beloved late grandmother's favorite treat was butterscotch, which is why they eat a whole bag when they're feeling gloomy? Or that your dad, for whatever reason he should probably discuss in therapy, literally cannot walk by a bakery without going inside and getting some gluten and butter-packed pastry and just happens to always walk by bakeries with you because you live in New York City and there are bakeries all over the place, so he doesn't normally eat like this, okay? You'll never even come close to being on the same page as your peeps if you don't have open, honest discussions about why they want and do the things they do. Let me rephrase that. Open, honest, non-judgy discussions about why they want and do the things they do. I'm sure you have things that you can offer to that conversation. I mean, why do you always need wine with dinner? Sure, it's a plant. You can rationalize that, but really, that's a thing. Or me, why can't I not eat popcorn if it's in the house, even though popcorn's sadly the one food that ravages my stomach no matter what? We all have our stuff. Number 2, don't ever talk to your loved one about food while they are eating the food. Criticizing or informing them on the not-so-fun facts about their French fries will cause them nothing but anger with a side of guilt and a dollop of resentment. If I'm being reflective here, this is probably something I did indirectly a lot with Andrew. I was flying high on my vegan diet, and I love to talk smack about other people's diets that I'd observe. Oh my God, can you believe they just ordered nachos? Seriously, are they just asking to be unhealthy? Wow, beer. I guess someone gives no hoots about their health. Banana split? Really, single person? Ever thought that maybe it'd be more appropriate to split that with someone so you don't split your pants getting into your car? Okay, I was never that mean, I promise. I promise. I wasn't criticizing the food on Andrew's plate because he only put vegan food on his plate out of fear for me doing, well, that stuff to his face. I mean, doesn't that just scream resentment? Now, if I do want to maybe mention some unwanted consequence of eating a certain food that's on my loved one's plate, I choose to talk to them about healthier options before the big dinner, when their stomach isn't fueling their emotions. Or I'll do it after eating, when they complain to me about how they might not be feeling so great. Told you so. Ooh, sorry about that. By the by, here's another one for you. Number 3, do know your facts. I legit used to badger my mother every time she used a microwave, but I really couldn't ever give her one darn reason why. It's fake heat? Which reminds me, I've been meaning to really dive into anti-microwave information for years now. If you're going to lovingly and at the right time, not when they're eating or microwaving, explain to someone that they should or shouldn't eat or do something, you've got to have a good reason or two to back that shiz up with facts and studies and quotes and statistics. Real ones, not Donald Trump ones. Tip number 4 is do cut them some loving slack. You know that saying, if you love someone, set them free. If they come back, they were meant to be. Yeah, well, same applies here with food. Set them free, why don't you, babe? Let them indulge on poker night with the guys. Let them indulge on poker night with the guys or splurge with their girlfriends during the bachelorette weekend. Guilt-free, okay? Letting your partner's fork fly free every now and again means they'll appreciate your kale and coconut water that much more when they return home feeling not so great and probably oh so hungover. Oh, and when they do return oh so hungover or oh so unhappy with the choices they made, please offer them some loving support. Please don't take that time to go, well, I told you so, on their still reeking like pepperoni pizza ass. No one likes an I told you so-er, and come on, it's not like you've never indulged to the point of regret. So cut them some slack the same way you'd want slack to be cut for you. Number 5, don't tell, rather, show. This is it, my friend. This is the tip. If you ignore all the other 6 tips, you could still avoid an Andrew-like situation by doing this one thing, by showing, not telling. If you want to convince your partner that a morning lemon water beats a sugary milk-filled coffee, then you gotta show off your lemon water buzz and glowy skin. They will want to get in on that. The saying, you know, isn't lead by lecturing. The saying is lead by example. Lead by doing. Lead by eating your plants and never needing to complain about acid reflux. The thing with this is you need to be patient because this creates change in the other person over time. I've been green smoothieing for 10 years now, and my own mother is just now trying to hop on her green smoothie train because she's seen on vacations or whenever I'm visiting home just how great drinking my green smoothies make me feel, how much energy they give me, how much happiness they provide, how much weight they've helped me lose over time, and how much less I complain about digestive issues. By walking your talk, you'll inspire by example, not by nagging. I've honestly never seen this not work. That was a little too many double negatives, but you know what I'm trying to say. This works all the time, even if it takes 10 years. Tip number 6 is do give them tastes. If you're making your famous quinoa pesto dinner, why not make a little extra just in case? Or if you're whipping up some banana ice cream, maybe prepare your partner a bowl too, just because you mistakenly made too much. Or if you're freezing some homemade veggie burgers, how about throwing them into the freezer unlabeled so you know who might grab one in a hunger emergency, heat it up, and actually love it? Shifting to a healthier diet takes trust. One of the biggest fears people have is that healthy food equals weird or bad tasting food. So myth bust that. Bring black bean brownies to an Oscar party, which could be the award show watching shindig or just a guy named Oscar's party. Leave them on the table with all the desserts. Don't label them healthy or black bean or anything. And watch how people eat them, love them, and finish them. Then, as you're leaving Oscar's party, wish him a happy birthday, of course, and then yell to all, "You just loved healthy, vegan, gluten-free, refined, sugar-free black bean brownies, suckas!" Then drop the mic and strut on out. Subtly dissolving the fear of healthy food sucking by nonchalantly serving skeptics bites, handfuls, or sips of your delicious healthy foods with no pressure, just with an "I've had extra, might as well" kind of attitude, and you will soon be hearing, "Honey, do you have any more of that green stuff in the fridge?" To which you'll smile and whip up another batch of delicious green stuff, even if it's in the wee hours in the morning. And number 7, do love unconditionally. Unless their diet is truly a deal breaker for you, treating your someone unkindly for what they eat will be a deal breaker for them. Trust me. Always remember to treat them with unconditional love, the same love you'd like to be treated with for your not so healthy habit. We all have at least one. Speak to them kindly. Remember, the reason you care so much about their overall health is because you love them so much. Seriously, so talk to them with love. They're so much more likely to listen if they feel your genuine care rather than your genuine judgment. So remember how in the beginning of this episode I mentioned how this past weekend I actually encouraged my boyfriend to eat a burger? Well, that wasn't just some, "Oh my God, I'm having a flashback to being dumped because of burgers. Yes, 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 eat all the burgers. Please don't leave me. I need you," kind of situation. That conversation went more like this. "Oh, I don't know what to get." "Well, what are you most in the mood for? What's calling you?" "Honestly, the burger, but I know that's bad and I shouldn't." "Why is it bad? This restaurant is obsessed with food quality. They put it all over the menu that everything's organic, grass-fed, yada, yada. So if ever you'd want a burger, wouldn't now be the time?" "Yeah, but like, too much red meat isn't good for you, right?" "Right, of course. But seriously, when was the last time you had red meat?" "I can't remember. Probably at least a couple weeks ago." "Is there anything else on the menu calling you?" "Not really. I mean, I'd be okay with something else, but I'm just like really wanting the burger for some reason." "Well, then if you want a burger and you haven't had it for that long and we're at a place where they have the best quality burgers pretty much available, don't you think you should probably get the burger?" "Okay, yeah, thanks." He gets the burger. He eats the burger. "Are you happy you got the burger? Good choice?" "No, it wasn't that good. I should have gotten what you got." And there you have it. Not that good. Should have gotten my vegan tempeh enchiladas. Did I force him to say that? Did I guilt the heck out of him so he didn't even try the burger? Does he pick fights with me moments before an important presentation about a timeless comedy? Nay to all the above. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling, above all else, excited to stop badgering peeps over the head with plants and instead excited to lead by example, to walk your talk with a green smoothie in your hand. If you can think of one other person who could benefit from this show in their ears, please share it with them. And for a recap of this episode, plus so much more that makes healthy living not suck, visit partyinmyplants.com/23.